At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, for another hour. Tim Fitzgerald coming up later this hour, and we will have a lot to talk about. This new college sports commission, kind of weeding out the NCAA, there are pieces of that to talk about. One of the big stories that we have not touched on is a potential eviction type penalty from the conferences. Basically, like, the rules and the punishments are going to be so steep, they're going to incentivize following the rules. It sounds like, and we'll get into this in the next segment, we can dig in a little bit. Like, you can't sue over a penalty anymore. You can't. And if, like, you could be expelled basically from the league if you don't follow the rules. And that's an interesting component. So we'll get all that with Fitz later in the show. Something else we're going to talk about is K-State basketball adds another recruit. The news yesterday, Bowling Green transfer. He's a big man, which has a lot of terms that we're going to get into here. 6'7". He has got some girth, Tommy. He's well fed, like, whatever you want to call it, you know, the body type, right? Like, you know,
yeah, he's hefty, I think was the word that you used yesterday.
Hefty. Yep. But I love it. I think, you know, we have seen some of my favorite players ever use that body type to their advantage to create space. And, you know, of course, Charles Barkley, as in his older years, probably more than his younger years, learned how to use that body type. We've seen Big Baby Davis in college master that body type. Queen for Maryland this past year used it well. This guy for Bowling Green uses it, and he averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds a game.
You're leaving off the guy that did it better than anybody else. Big Country, Bryant Reeves. You're leaving him off the list. I mean, come on. Like, there's
Big Country,
nobody better than him.
There have been a million of them. Larry Johnson had that type of my favorite basketball player of all time. Now, his was probably a little more muscle, but it was still that very broad, like, just large, imposing presence. I think K-State with that and, you know, and a young Serbian player who has a style of, like, Nikola Jokic, like, K-State's cooking with something to be, and they're apparently in on PJ Haggerty. We'll get to all that with Fitz, but as we were talking about this guy yesterday, it brought up something that I think is fascinating, and that is, I think I called him a big guy. We were having a conversation, and you said it brings up a pet peeve of yours. Now, I'll let you explain your pet peeve, because I'd have a different take on this.
I hate it, and I've always have. I mean, going all the way back to, like, when I was a teenager to now, I hate it when somebody calls me big guy. Like, it's the worst thing in the world. I would rather you call me like an expletive or like a dirty word or something than calling me big guy. I hate it when somebody's like, hey, big guy. I can't stand it. Like, it makes my skin crawl.
But why, though? The why here is important.
Yeah, so I think it's because, you know, it's just a very veiled attempt, in my opinion, of like basically trying to call somebody a fat ass. And so, you know, it's like, it's basically being like, hey, fat ass, you know, but really, like, you're saying, hey, big guy. Like, it's just a nicer way of saying that.
Now, did you have the same body type growing up as you do now?
For the most part. I mean, I had a dad bod when I was 20. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. No, I do. So I don't think, but just so everybody is aware, if you're new to the program, like, nothing's off the table. We make fun of each other. Nobody gets their feelings hurt. Like, I've said before, and I mean it, like, I could get hit by a bus and Tommy could make fun of me tomorrow. We're good. Don't worry about it. So this is fascinating, though, because I don't know that I use that term specifically. I am really bad, really bad at remembering names. Like, it's a problem. It's genetic. It runs in my family. I have learned later in life, because I'm like, man, what? This is such a problem. If I met somebody and there wasn't and we weren't in a meeting and it was in passing and it's very casual, I will forget that name. I'm not kidding. 2 seconds after, like, that happens to me and it's a real problem. So I oftentimes am a big proponent of, I forgot a name, so we're going to use all the generics. Big guy.
Yeah, there are names out there. Hey, buddy. Hey, I use buddy a lot. Hey, buddy. Hey, bro. Hey, dude. Hey, you know, whatever. But like, big guy, because then you're basically like.
But people call me big guy.
Yeah, but they call you big guy ironically because you're scrawny.
See, I don't think that's what it is. I think that is a generic term in passing. Whether somebody forgets a name or not, I think it's the same as buddy or dude or man. I think it's just one of those generics that has worked its way in. I don't think it's – and, I hope that not everybody thinks that, because I think back to, like, how I've bailed myself out of those situations, and I'm like, well, goodness, like, what if people – what if people think I'm implying when it's like this panic moment for me of like, oh crap, what's
like,
that name?
I feel like if I called you big guy, hey, big guy, that's along the same lines of me calling my 4-year-old big guy, because you're both small, you know,
but I don't,
like,
think you're saying it because we're small, are you?
It's ironic. It's an irony, like, hey, big guy, and you're not big at all. But when somebody has been big, you know, and I've lost weight over the years, which is good. But like, there is a period of time, you know, like, yeah, like, I kind of struggled with that sort of thing. And if somebody was like, hey, big guy, to me, that was just like nails on a chalkboard. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. Like, that is not like all. Now I'm self-conscious. And now you're thinking, I feel like you think I'm actually big. And so, yeah, maybe that's more on me than it is on the other person. Like, it's more of a self-conscious thing for me. It's along the same lines of calling somebody husky or chubby, you know, or whatever. Hey, chubby. Like, how would you feel like if you were, you know, overweight and you're like, hey, chubby, how you doing, bud?
I just got a text. Somebody is on my side of this.
I'm sure they are.
It's on big guy.
I'm sure they are.
Well, no, it's because I'm afraid like that. It's wrong. Max, where do you stand with big guy? Do you think big guy is more literal or do you think it's more generic?
Max is not paying attention currently to
okay
to your question, but okay. he'll think about it.
I don't know why, but we're going to need help on this. Because we got into this yesterday, I'm like, we got to save this because now I'm genuinely curious. So
I would love to know Tim Fitzgerald's take on this too. I feel like you need to ask him.
He's a big guy.
Be careful because like
he's a big guy and a big guy.
That could be a touchy thing. You know, like I always want to be.
Fitz is like us. He's not going to get.
But you can't. You can't speak on that because you're not big. Like you've never been big.
No. I'm not trying to.
You
give
can't him, say whether saying, or not it's touchy. Like that's.
I'm not saying. I'm saying he's not going to be offended. I don't know how he feels about that term. But we all make fun of each other all the time. And I do want to get Fitz's take on this. And I'm very glad that it got spurred on by a K-State player so that we can get Fitz's take on this, because he'll give it some good thought. But I want if you can leave us a video comment, I am so curious to know where people stand with this. Maybe I'll put up a Twitter poll in the break or something, and we'll see if people can just help me know which way is which, because I've always thought of that as one of the generics, like one of the buddy, guy, man, dude. Like, I've always thought of big guy that way. It's interesting to hear that you haven't, because now I'm like, oh, hell, like, what have I done?
And look, the intent,
I have forgotten a million names.
The intent behind it, that may very well be the case. Like, it's never intended in that way, right? But for the person receiving it, I can only speak for myself in that regard. So I don't think that there's a right or wrong answer. Like, you could put a Twitter poll up and people are going to be like, no, it's not a big deal. But it's an individual thing. Like, no, that's always just bothered me. It's always bothered me when somebody's called me big guy.
I just want to know what most people's intent is when they say it, not when they receive it.
I'm sure that the intent is usually pure from the majority of people. But I also know, like, there have been times that I've been called big guy and the intentions have not been pure. It's been a dig.
Yeah,
it's been condescending, hey, big guy, you know, and like, clearly, well, like, you're calling me a fat ass.
No, they
now,
call you
well,
porky
now,
or something.
I'm going to use it. It'll be to get under your skin. Like,
I'm sure
when
you
I
will.
Call you that, just to see how well you're paying attention.
I'm sure you will.
Because that's coming all the time now. So this was a fun one. I was so excited yesterday. I was like, oh man, this is going to be so good for the show. Cause I really want, sometimes those fall in your lap. And I think we do a pretty good job of like just the everyday, like things that we wonder about that nobody ever really talks about. This felt like it was one of them. So that's on the table for you this hour. So what we'll do is we'll come back here. Let's set the table a little bit, because we have not talked at all. And I didn't see it until today. And I guess it's a 2 or 3 day old story from Yahoo about this potential penalty of college athletics of like taking this thing next level. And I got to say, like, on the surface, I don't know that that's a bad idea. Like, if you really want people to follow the rules, you better make the penalty harsh enough to have them follow the rules. So we'll get into it. Give Tommy a chance to look at that. If he hasn't seen it, I'll dig in on it a little bit as well. And then we'll have Tim Fitzgerald talk about that. Talk about this K-State edition, this K-State class overall. They get a big guy to help them, I think, in an area they need help. I mean, he is. Well, in basketball,
he
big
is
guy,
a big,
big
guy.
Man.
He's a big
is
guy.
Is a different. That, and then it takes on a whole different level, because that's an actual term for a specific position on the floor. But we'll have it as we make our way through a second hour of Sports Daily Nonsense. Stick with us.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great sponsor of the program. It is golf season, Tommy. We're playing later this week. Memorial Day, I think I'm going to jump in to a game, a long-standing game that you have, and I appreciate that. I've got another round next week, and I'm talking 18-hole. I have three 18-hole rounds coming over like 6 days. I don't know if I'm gonna hold up physically. It's been a long time. I played 2.5 holes yesterday. That's usually about what I can get in there. This is going to be a stamina contest.
Get the icy hot ready to go, and you never know. Your game could flourish. It could turn around.
Well, I got all the bogeys out of the way in that 2.5 holes I played yesterday, so you guys are toast tomorrow. You'll be proud of me. I got actual golf balls.
Good.
Yesterday. I didn't want to embarrass you in front of your friends Memorial Day.
I appreciate that.
So I got some ball. I looked it up. I was like, what kind of ball should I get for my game?
What'd you get?
And look, Wilson something.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, Wilson, like, it's something. As long as they're actual golf balls, I'm a happy camper.
Again, I've never hit a tennis ball on the golf course.
Did you know, by the way, that you can get like refurbished, refinished golf balls nice that are like, they're just used?
I have a certain reputation, I think, with you of saving money. And I will absolutely be doing that. I just want to figure out which ball it is that I like the most first. And then, yes, I'll be buying a hundred ball bucket of used, that kind of ball.
I've done that before. I mean, look, like, they're good brands. Like, they're better. Like, we're talking Pro V1s and TaylorMade's and Callaway's, like good golf balls.
Well,
maybe they've been hit before. And like, I've done that. That's not a big deal.
In my research, the good news for me is the expensive ones aren't the kind I should be using anyway. So, like, which of the kind that lend itself to my game do I like? And then I will then go find, yes, the used version.
You need the softest golf ball, the ones that are most forgiving. That's probably what's going to be good for you.
I don't swing very hard.
Yeah.
That's the only way in my golf game that I learned probably a decade ago from, you know, to take it from like a 50 handicap down to a 20. Was you better stop swinging hard because there's no chance that ball's going anywhere close to what. So I've learned that part. And then, so yes, it's like, okay, if I swing it slower, what should I use? And yeah, it was soft was the consistent answer that I got. So Wilson something or other that has a soft ball is what I found. There's also some like graffiti balls apparently that lend itself to that. So I might also try one of those just, you know, because it's a little more obnoxious and I appreciate that as well. And I heard they were easier to find, which is also something that would be good for me.
You also strike me as a Costco golf ball type guy, like a Kirkland brand.
I found one of those in the pond recently and I've been using it. It's fine. Like, I don't know if it's you know, better or worse. Oh, don't act like you don't skim the edge of the pond
to get a golf ball.
He would.
What's that, Max?
He would go wading in the pond.
I didn't go wading. It was kind of on the edge, and you could just kind of grab it with your club. You know, you get it, and you just like flick it out, and then you got a new ball, a new to you or new to me. But it was a Kirkland brand. Isn't that the Costco one?
It is
like a Kirkland one. So yeah, I mean, we used it. I love when my kids come too, because they like to do that. They like to go like rummaging for balls, and then, you know, then you got all these balls. So you can try out all kinds of different ones. And I did try that one, and I don't know if it's any better or worse, but it was all right. It's okay. But I did. They're new. Like, you'll be like, the, you know, in the box. And
I'm glad that
the only time I ever used new balls. is if I'm playing in an event and they give you balls. Like, that's the only time I ever use new balls. So we'll see how they work. If you're correct and they change my game entirely, you guys are toast tomorrow. I'm just,
well, I don't know if it's going to change your game, but at least you can hold your head up high.
A more what?
At least you can hold your head up high.
Less embarrassing.
Yeah.
Man, I don't embarrass easily. If you don't know that by now, but we'll be good. So thanks to Crestview anyway. It'll be a lot of golf out there. Give them a call. Memorial Day pool party's coming. The pool. I don't know if you've seen the pool.
I have.
All the cabanas they put in. I think they just put a slide in. They put a basketball goal up. Did you see that? Because we're about to have beers and get a real game of pickup basketball.
I need the weather forecast to turn around a little bit for Monday. It looks a little chilly, a little cloudy, but yeah,
it'll be fine. It'll be all right. We'll get you a little liquid heater going before we get out there. We'll be in good shape. Okay, let's talk about. So I don't know if you had a chance during the break to look at this, Tommy, or maybe you've seen it before. I had not seen this until I was trying to prep up on this new college sports commission thing because I wanted to get Fitz's take on it. Something is happening here, and it's hard to follow because I think it came from Tennessee governor's, bill at the bottom. What it sounds like they're trying to do is set up a set of rules, like for whenever the house settlement comes and they determine like, okay, here is finally at least the groundworks of how this share and financial situation will play, putting in just some insanely restrictive rules and then the punishment for the rules. The document that's in question, and Ross Dellinger has this, it's described as an affiliation or membership agreement. So they're trying to come up, and this is what we've kind of wanted, right? We've wanted some enforcement to go to the conferences here. And what it sounds like is as the rules get set, and that probably happens by this new group that's basically the NCAA by a new name, right? This College Sports Commission or whatever. The enforcement of it or the penalties for breaking them could be so severe that in theory, like you could get kicked out of the SEC. And I'm going to tell you right now, like if they get to that point, and I don't think this is a bad idea, like if you really want people to follow the rules and the money that a university makes by being a member of the SEC through TV deals and all these things, there will be absolutely no appetite from the upper levels of these schools' administrators for any kind of rule breaking. And it will get self-enforced. Those things that you wanted the NCAA to enforce that they never could because it's impossible to legislate that many different schools, this would, I bet you, do it. Because there would be no room for anything close to breaking a rule. The financial component of it wouldn't be there. The financial component of cheating and paying players under the table for years has always been there because, oh no, you're going to take our banner, but you're not going to take away the ticket sales we had for the last 3 years because that player sold out, facilities. It's a good idea. I think on the surface, it's a good idea.
I'll believe it when I see it. And it's not that I don't think that these conferences can actually enforce it. I just have such a bad taste in my mouth from the way that the NCAA tried to do enforcement and that they were incapable and inept and all the different things in actually enforcing the right things and, not going after things that were trivial and didn't matter. So that's the only context that any of us have. That we only have the context in the ways that the NCAA tried to dole out punishment and enforce rules and how arbitrary it was and how long it took to get things done. And like, I can't think of off the top of my head, any punishments that the NCAA doled out that I agreed with, that I'm like, yeah, that was the right thing to do. That was the right way to pursue this. Or like, even if it was the right decision, yeah, they did that in a speedy way. They were able to get it done in a good timeline. Like there was nothing about enforcement from the NCAA that I feel like was effective whatsoever. So knowing that's the only context that any of us have, I'll believe it when I see it from the different conferences and the way that this enforcement is lined out. On paper, in theory, it's a good idea. I don't disagree with you. But until I actually see it in action and actually working, I can't like fully endorse it and get behind it and say, yep, I'm on board with this because I have no context to know whether or not it's actually going to work and be effective.
the most challenging part will be to get schools to sign off, right? To get schools to agree to this, because the schools losing the ability to sue over a punishment there's not a lawyer on the planet that would say, yeah, that's a good idea. Do that.
But would it be challenging though? Because like all you need are the conferences on board. I mean, do you think that an SEC member school is going to say, yeah, we're not signing that? Like, absolutely. Absolutely would.
Yeah. Because they all have to agree to make that a thing, right? They all have to agree to like, kind of like the tush push vote. Like you'd have to get all the, whoever the presidents or whoever, you'd have to get them together and say, here's what we're proposing. Let's vote on it. And then you'd have to get a majority vote, I assume this, by the way, to come in and then do that. So that seems like the biggest hurdle. I don't think there are in today's world. And I would be speaking to this now as like a business owner. You almost never want to give up the right to take something to court if there's a grievance. Like that's the bigger power would always want you to, and sometimes can force you to, but you don't want to. So there would have to be a pretty compelling case, I think, that this would be actually good for the schools to do it. Now, I don't know then if it can go, because remember, this is the Tennessee governor looking at this. I don't know if there's some type of law that could go into place to not give you a choice. Much like you've probably seen in the headlines, in the news, pharmaceutical companies kind of can't be sued. That was a law put in place. Is it Reagan that did that? And the spirit of it was so that they could be unhindered in their research to be aggressive and all these things. And now it's been abused, I think, over the years, and we've seen that. So maybe that's the part to watch, too, is that this is coming from a potential, you know, legislative place where they can say, nope, this is actually going to be a law. Like, you can't XYZ, that would probably be different. So there's nothing like concrete in any of this, but I think the idea of it, if you want, once these rules are set, people to actually follow them, that would be a way to do it for sure, because nobody would break the rules. No, you'd be idiotic to break the rules if that was the potential penalty.
And knowing that they're firm and sweeping and, you know, whatever those penalties are, I mean, think about like the frame of reference I have would be like when the Saints had Bounty Gate in the NFL and Sean Payton was suspended for the entire season once that was uncovered and all of that. I mean, that was something that was so sweeping and severe. If you've got punishments like that and not punishing the athletes necessarily, that's what the NCAA has always done. Like that's what they've always looked at. But really from an institutional perspective, a conference perspective, allowing them to govern themselves, I do think it's an intriguing idea and probably not a bad idea. I just would need to see it in action before I can fully endorse it.
It's something. It could be a big, all of this is, it feels like we're right on the edge of monumental shifts. And I think, in, you know, two more seasons from now, this will all be very different. All right, Tom, you said you have news regarding the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, I do. So you mentioned kind of on the edge of some monumental changes in college athletics. A new article just came out from the Sports Business Journal. Ben Portnoy is the journalist who wrote this article, came out just a few minutes ago, that the American Athletic Conference is going to be rolling up all of their sponsorship business under the actual conference's authority. So like Learfield has handled their sponsorship sales for a long time. They are not renewing a deal with Learfield once it's up this year. They will handle all of their business operations, sponsorship sales, all of that in-house. And they've hired a chief commercial officer who previously was part of the Professional Fighters League, and he'll be going to find conference sponsorships, things like that, as opposed to having an outside entity do that moving forward. And so Tim Pernetti, the commissioner of the American, told the Sports Business Journal that basically they want to roll up the conference's commercial business interests into a single entity under the umbrella of the actual conference.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. So the conference would then leave those things like, so
the conference, we'll go into the conference would do it themselves. So basically Pernetti, and his quote was, bringing all the commercial business together in one division gives us the ability to scale things across the conference more effectively, whether that's conference naming rights, playing surfaces, jersey patches, or any of those things. It gives us the ability to create more value for the sum of our parts. And the new division of the conference is an acronym called RISE, and that stands for Revenue, Innovation, Sports, and Entertainment. And that's a new division as part of the conference itself.
I don't know. Your take on this will be better. So for people right now, Learfield is this massive entity, and you've heard it on K-State broadcasts here, like Learfield Sports, right? They do this for a lot of schools across the country. Wichita State is not one of those schools. Wichita State has independently handled that stuff in-house forever. That's how you've heard on Shocker broadcast here, Shocker Sports Properties, right? Like that's two totally different things, two totally different models, two totally different dynamics. I wonder then, Wichita State, the team in the American, how it affects the Shocker athletic program and how it does its business, because it's never been a part of Learfield. It's always operated independently. Are they still allowed to conduct their own business then?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that there will be probably clear guidelines on what you can and can't do as a member institution, what you can and cannot sell, and what is an institution's responsibility and what is a conference's responsibility. So like, you know, Pernetti is talking about things like jersey patches. If that's going to be under the umbrella of the conference to sell, and you've got one presenting sponsor, and then you basically divvy it up among the member schools, well, then each individual school wouldn't be responsible in going and selling that themselves. It's a mixed bag. I mean, I can see it kind of a double-edged sword. Like,
yeah,
you know, because like I know, and Wichita State's not the only school that's this way. I'm sure that they've got limitations as far as man hours and manpower to go out and sell things, right? You know, so if you're doing it and trying to get value from a conference perspective, you can probably get more money out of it and take that burden off of the individual schools, as long as those schools are getting the fair value of what it is that's being sold.
Well, and then you have to as a business owner, as a client then, and something like that. And this is, we won't spend too much time on this. This is interesting though. Like, why would I want any piece of Temple, right? I wouldn't want that. I don't care. Like, that's not value to me. Like, that doesn't add value. There has to be a way for them to divvy out portions of this to these schools locally to have some freedom and some complexity in what they can do.
And by the way, do you know what the major play is with all of this long term? And even Tim Pernetti referenced this in the article. It's to get appropriate valuations for the conference to go and get private equity partners to invest in the conference. That's the whole long-term play in all of this. And the American's not the only conference doing this. Like, there are other conferences that are working on trying to find a way to value their conference enough to go and get big money hedge funds, private equity, whatever that looks like, to invest in the conference as a, you know, to try to get a return on that.
A concept, by the way, that we brought up probably 2 years ago now, that was, look, some things, if you really look, like, you can see it coming from a mile away. That one has felt inevitable, right? Because there's so much money involved in this. That one's felt inevitable. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, time will tell. And that this all, it's all interesting because it all sort of weaves itself together, right? Enforcement rules. How does the revenue share work? How are schools ever going to afford a revenue share? That answer to me has always been private equity partnerships. How is Florida State going to break a TV contract to go make more money somewhere else? They're going to need somebody to help them break that TV contract for a return on their investment later.
Correct.
Down the road. Like, all of that stuff is interesting, probably a little more interesting to us maybe than the general public, but it all does go together, and it's interesting. That one obviously affects Wichita State. We'll have Kevin Saul in a couple of weeks. We can ask him. Maybe they'll have more, you know, information on it.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We do have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. We're going to go wide-ranging today with Fitz.
Oh, boy.
We got to get the take on the new player there. for K-State Marcus Johnson. We got to get his take on some of this college sports commission, some of the things we were just talking about, and potential like expulsion type enforcement some leagues are looking at. Before we do any of that, though, Fitz, again, we always have to put a disclaimer on these kinds of conversations. Tommy and I, Fitz, I believe, I won't speak for you, I'll let you answer yourself, do not easily come offended or get your feelings hurt about just about anything. So this came up with us yesterday, Fitz, as a point of talking about Marcus Johnson. We all noticed the first thing we notice about Marcus Johnson is that he's a big guy, right? He's a big fella. But so here's where our conversation quickly evolved. So when Tommy and I are talking about it, I'm like, oh man, I love this kind of player, right? The dudes that are just big and broad and can use their body, like they're fun to watch, all these things. And Tommy brought up something that had me, because he brought up that he doesn't like when people call him big guy in passing, because it's a veiled attempt to make fun or call him fat. And I'm like, man, I don't agree. People call me big guy and I'm scrawny as hell. I would contend that big guy is a more generic somebody like me who forgets names easily, uses it as a crutch, like dude, man, buddy. Big guy to me falls there as somebody who might have been on the receiving end of a, hey, big guy. Where do you fall on that?
Well, let me just back up. And Tommy, I'm sorry. He's fat. As a fat person, I'm not offended by that. I'm overweight.
But do you think somebody, when they call you big guy, is calling you big guy because that, or because it's just a generic term we use when we maybe don't know a name, or just in passing, it's just a generic greeting?
I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", or used to be, and shrinking, but yeah, I get called that.
I mean, look,
neighbor,
like
I called Big Mike.
I feel like if I called Jacob big guy, I mean, he's 140 pounds dripping wet. You know, it's ironic. Like that's an ironic thing to call him big guy. If somebody calls me big guy, it's because they think I'm fat, you know? And I'm like, and maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but I don't necessarily want somebody pointing that out to me, especially somebody I don't know who I'm meeting for the first time. And they're like, hey, big guy. You know, I'm like, you don't know me. You don't have the right to call me big guy. That's always bothered me. Always bothered me when somebody calls me big guy.
I can see your point on that. It doesn't, because you're not a big guy.
Right.
You're not. But I think the conversation changes, though, when it's an athlete, because, you know, I think there's no
he's
doubt
a big guy. He's a big man.
Heck, he's a big man in basketball.
A position
like that's totally
on the
fine.
Basketball court. Is
but you,
a big
but
man.
See, Jacob, you called originally where it started. You called him hefty, and
well,
that's even worse. Like you know, so like that'd be even worse if somebody was like, "Hey, hey, you're hefty, or you're chubby, or you're
that would be a little." But if I here's what like if I now I'm going to of course do this all the time is call Tommy big guy, but because I know it bothers him. But had I not known that and we walked into a room and that one's not in my lexicon. But if I was like, hey, big guy, I would not have been saying that for that reason. I literally would have just said that as a generic introduction. Like that's how I would use that word. So I'm fascinated by it. I want to know where people stand on this because like I want to know where the intent is, if nothing else.
Yeah. I see both sides of this, and I don't. I'm not as impassioned about this as you guys because I did a whole video making fun of his size.
That's why we knew you'd
how
be
much
the perfect,
I love it.
It's why amazing. We knew you'd be the perfect person because you're like us, and you know, no jokes off the table. So he is a big guy, both in position and in stature. Yeah. And that will make him easy to fall in love with as a player if he's good. If he's scoring 16 points and 5 rebounds a game at K-State, he'll become a fan favorite real quick.
Yep.
I don't know how much you've been able to read up on him, study up on him. Do you think his game translates up? I know he had a good game against Michigan State. That kind of came out with the announcement. But does it translate into the Big 12? How much of it? Because this is a position of need for K-State. It absolutely is.
Well, he's a perimeter player. He's 6'7", and excuse me, and I don't know how many pounds, but 50% of his shots are from three. And he is a perimeter player. My questions about him have nothing to do with his offense. I worry about his ability to rebound and defend at this level. And also, I think he's going to struggle to get that shot off at a higher level because defenses are more attentive at this, you know, at the Big 12. They're not just going to let you stand out there and shoot threes. They're going to be on you. He's a really intriguing player. I'll be very interested to see how it does translate to the Big 12 because he's not just a shooter. He's one of those guys that can score from different angles, shooting fadeaway threes, and he's just a natural scorer and snacker, apparently. he's going to be a fan favorite no matter what. He really will be because we're not talking about, you know, a Thomas Gibson or even a Luis Colon or back in the day a Fred McCoy who were just big guys. They were just thick. I mean, they weren't necessarily fat. They were just portly.
Stout. I think stout would be a good word.
Yes, stout. Yeah. Come on, this dude's fat. Husky. I mean, he's got a gut. I've never seen anything like it, but he's one of those dudes. You ever seen a really big guy go like start dancing? And you're like, holy crap, he's nimble and he can do backflips. And that's what this guy does on the basketball court. You're like, how is he doing this? He looks like he's out of shape, and yet he's a really good athlete. So I'm fascinated to see how it translates to the Big 12. And he won't average 16 points at this level. He'll be more of a role player. But that'll be dependent on his ability to defend at this level, which is a big question for me.
With his addition to the team and to the roster, what's left? What are the priorities remaining for Jerome Tang?
I haven't done I need to do a head count. They still got some slots. They really need a still kind of need an alpha scorer. They got some guys that can score, but they also need someone they can lean on. I think they need a true point. There's an ongoing discussion on our message boards about whether they're going to this, you know, positionless type of play. I don't know why you would when you had your greatest success with a true point guard in Marquise Noel, but we'll see how this all shakes out. They've got more work to do, though, guys. They got a lot more work, and guys bouncing back out of the draft are certainly a priority, and they're still recruiting a couple guys over in Germany, so we'll see if that pans out.
It'll be the international flair to this is going to be fascinating too. Mm-hmm. All right, Fitz, let's switch gears a little bit. There has been a lot of stuff with college athletics, this College Sports Commission, which is basically going to be the NCAA by a new name, and maybe it's better. I don't know. But then I'm seeing also stuff about potential punishments being fished out there by the Tennessee governor of like expulsions from leagues. If you're not following the rules, whenever it is that we get what the rules actually are, and not being able to, you know, sue in court and all these different kinds of things, there's a lot of little things moving around right now with college athletics. Or do you feel like this is taking us to a better place, big picture?
No, it's not. Because until they have some assistance from the federal government in leveling this playing field and maybe antitrust and some collective bargaining with a players union, it's not going to be settled. But number one, Tennessee, shut up. What are you doing? Passing a law that your schools don't have to follow the House settlement and can do whatever they want to do. I mean, that is such SEC behavior. I can't believe it. We're above this. We're above everyone else. We don't have to follow this. Even though, you know, the NCAA is negotiating and they're part of the NCAA. However, this, whatever it is being passed around, this pledge that everyone would have to sign, you'd be kicked out of a conference if you don't follow the rules that they establish, has no teeth to it. It just takes one lawyer to get this thrown out. It's not sustainable. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of time. But at least they're trying to show they're doing something. I think maybe they're virtue signaling a little bit to their fan bases that we're trying. But in all honesty, until you get government intervention to give you a framework of rules and security for the organization, you're not going to go anywhere with any of this.
I think there's too many different things yet to make much about it. Do you think a smaller, what they call more nimbler, college sports commission could be a more effective rules agency whenever that happens than the NCAA has been? You think it's even possible?
Yeah, I do think they probably need a football, you know, major college power level, or even the, you know, an FBS level commissioner of football in some way. That isn't an ex-coach like Nick Saban.
Right, it's not, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be as much as his name gets brought up.
Yeah, and look, it's, you know, part of the problem here, well, the problem here is the courts are saying the student-athletes have no voice in any of this. And you're just passing rules that affect them, and in some cases, in name, image, and likeness, their rights. You don't sign a guy to a scholarship and then own his face. You know, it's like, it was absurd. And until they allow the student-athletes to be part of this, this isn't going to go anywhere. They've got to open this up to all parties involved in these transactions and get some congressional, you know, put some stuff in cement that this is the way it goes. You're free of antitrust challenges, and now you're going to be dealing with collective bargaining with a player union. That's just the way it's got to be. That's the only way out of this, and they seem to be trying everything but that.
Yeah, it's baby steps, and at the very beginning. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, gopowercat.com. They'll have all the content you need on the newest Wildcat, Marcus Johnson, his body type, and what he might be able to do at K-State for Jerome Tang. Fitz, we're right up against it. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time, big guy.
Okay, you bet.
Chris Fitz. All right, that's it. Fun Sports Daily today. A lot of fun things happening in a week where things are slowing down just a little bit. Royals day off today. We'll be back to look ahead to that Minnesota series tomorrow. We'll have Jalen Thompson in to talk Royals tomorrow to help us do it. So a lot of fun things coming. Giveaways, more stuff. Tommy, enjoy a Thursday.
Yeah, appreciate it. Getting ready for the holiday weekend. We'll have a big show tomorrow.
All right, for Max, for Tommy, thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app anytime. I'm Jake Ballbrock. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.